Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning Bible study. Tom's away today, and he asked me this past Wednesday if I would stand in for him and preach or do his class here this morning. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 5, and of course we've been studying about Daniel and the men and the king and all the dreams that's been going on and all the stuff that's going on leads up to where we're at right now in chapter 5. Of course, we studied about there last week about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, how they, you know, changed him to where he was grazing grass. You know, and you think about he was the king. You know, and you might as well say, here he is out there eating grass. They call it the lowest thing that somebody could do. He got put it from being at the top all the way to the bottom. And we see that happen with him. You know, and it talks about there in verse 37, there in chapter 4, it says, now I praise and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to base. You know, he's seeing what, you know, what he went dead and all that. And you think about eating grass, that's pretty low, if you want to call it that. You know,
after our dogs, when they eat grass.
That's right. Yeah.
That's going to be like, you know, in person do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about dogs, you know. That's why they say, like, cats eat grass, because of the greens. You know, I did tell Holly that. I was joking with her, and I said, well, they made him eat grass just like an oxen. You know, animals do that. And sometimes, you know, it helps the animals to, I guess you could say, health-wise.
Well, you remember back when God created all the animals and mankind, that everything on the earth looked, as far as herbs and things were for them to eat. We don't have any scriptural reference to where any meat was eaten until after Noah came out of the ark. So even the animals were vegetarians, herbivores, whatever you want to call them. Whatever fancy word somebody wants to use.
True.
Is that so that it was Noah's follow?
So that what?
Could Moses fly?
That's what I was thinking,
that way they could produce and be healthy, I guess that's what you want to call it. But we'll get into chapter 5 here of Daniel.
You know, one other thing you probably talked about, and I just mentioned the fact that while all this was happening, the kingdom remained his. They didn't take it away from him. Of course, God had a hand in that. But, you know, somebody, Daniel, perhaps, who knows, saw that the kingdom, that there was no rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar, but he was left as the king.
In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Belshazzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his tribes might drink therein. They brought the golden vessels that they were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, And the king and his princes, his wives, and his kind of drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And it says, then the king's head was charged, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees sort of shook one against the other. The king cried aloud to bring in the slew slayers. And the king spoke and said to the wise man of Merim, whoever shall read this writing and sue me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed in scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and it shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. You know, the king was still getting, things like it says in mind, there's where it talks about the clothing with scarf, that's honored. Yeah, that's how I do have that in my parentheses there, where, it talks about they cried in, they showed where, he dressed the men and put them in fine clothes and gave them a chain of gold about their neck. And also, too, they was going to be the third ruler in the kingdom.
Well, why can we jump back to to the beginning? That Belshazzar is, some scholars will say that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, because it talks about him later, down in verse 11. Others say, it was most likely his grandson, because sometimes the term father is used just to refer to descendants. But he's going and he's getting the things that his father, there verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar, had brought from the temple. God's temple. So they're bringing plates, they're bringing vessels, possibly, that might have had anointing oil and such in it, or oils that was used to keep the lamps lit. And they're putting wine in them, items that came out of the temple in Israel that Nebuchadnezzar had brought. And they're taking them and they're drinking out of them, which is blasphemy to the Lord God in everything that they're saying and they're doing there. And then, of course, they're probably plastered. They're drunk, however you want.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then they get the fifth verse 5, where they see the fingers of the man's hand appear, and the fingers are writing on the wall. It doesn't say the whole hand was there, but the fingers of the hand is there. And that's, a lot of times you'll see pictures of depicted of that, and you'll actually see a whole hand there, but that's not what the scripture says. And it's kind of interesting. It says that it wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the king's, on the wall of the king's palace. You might say, well, what's the significance about that? Well, if it was behind the lampstand, somebody might say, well, it was just throwing a shadow. But in this case, it's the area that's being lit by the lampstand, so there's no shadows involved. And it's there to be seen by all. And then, of course, there verse 6 where it says the king got so scared that his joints became loose and his knees knocked. And we've heard that term, the other knees knocked. Well, this is probably one of the first places it was ever mentioned in writing. And then, of course, he calls in all of his smart people, and as you were saying, he says, I'm going to give you all kinds of things here if you can read it, figure it out.
Yeah, you think about, like you said, like you were talking about in verse 6, you know, it showed that how concerned he was, you know, we were talking about just this past Wednesday when I did the invitation, I was talking about, you know, when we get to heaven, we wouldn't have any pain and sorrow and all that. You know, we were talking about our knees, you know, especially with me, because I can, like this morning, I can already tell you my knees are hurting this morning. And I can just tell you, you know, for him, he was shaking so bad that his knees were hitting each other. He knew he was in trouble. And we have that even now, even a lot of people, when they're in trouble, you know, they start doing the same thing, what he did, because he knew he was in trouble.
One of the things when the problem is, the first thing that we do in life is God's providence for the nation. There's a very bad nation that's wicked, that God usually is so providence. But one of the main points he made there, and I'm not sure we're going to that point yet, where he says that a lot of times these nations are used by God to work his purpose. We often, during the good times, we fall away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if something happens to us, who do we call on?
Okay.
We call on God.
That's right.
You know, we should call on God in good times and bad times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we often fail to do that.
And God should be there all the time. I mean, you know, it ain't like you say, well, let's God be here now. But next week, he's not here.
And we should never put anything before him. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Before
him. It's one of the lessons from studying the Old Testament in the Israelite people. They just went back and forth. Even though many things they saw, they still were wavering. And that's a lesson for us.
Mm-hmm. And we see that through the examples of here. You know, what God did with, you know, the king here, you know, making him, you know, I guess you could call him, demoted him down to eating grass, showing that anybody could do that. That could have happened to anybody. He went from being the highest to the lowest. But like Daryl said, he didn't lose the kingdom. He didn't take that away from him. God made sure that didn't happen. But he taught him a lesson. And that's a lesson that we can look at. That could happen with us. You know, we could be in the lowest, go from the highest to the lowest.
When do you get closer to God? Whenever we need him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not when God needs us, it's when we need him.
Right.
We need, you know, we need to get close to God when we need him, and also when he can give us.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a real close.
Yeah. And we should be needing God all the time. You know, it ain't like, hey, this week I want him, next week I don't need him. We need to have him all the time. You know, we talk about examples of, you know, we talk about how, you know, we do it through prayer. We talk about how it goes through prayer. You know, we pray to God and some say, oh, nothing happened. You know, that's because God knows us. He knows what we need. And that's why I bring up every once in a while, I bring up the example that Joe used to always use about, you know, people would say, I need a new car. You know, God knows if we need a new car. He knows if we need something. And if He does, He helps us get provide for it and get it. You know. So, He knows it firsthand. He knows before what we know.
You know, what does God teach of these people? And they were putting gold, silver, and stuff before God. He's telling us, don't put nothing.
Right.
These worldly things is not worth it. Not worth themselves. You can gain the whole world and die alone.
Mm-hmm.
What does it profit? Nothing.
Nothing. That's right. In verse 8, we'll start there back, you know, in chapter 5 of Daniel, we'll go to verse 8 there, and it says, then come in all the king's wise men, but they shall not read the writing, nor make known the thing the king interpret thereof. You know, and then it says, then was King Brother really troubled, and his courage was charged on in him, and his lords were exalted. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and the lords, came into the banquet room, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let their tongue be charged. And it says, there is a king, and there is a man in thy kingdom, who is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of God, was found in him, whom the king there is. Thy father, the king, I say thy father, make master of the smoothsetters. You know, they're still trying to figure out, you know, from right here, what was the interpretation of the dream. You know, and that's what they're working on right now, the understanding. In verse 12, it says, for as much as an excellent spirit, the knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams, and hard sentence, and dissolving of doubt were found in the same. Daniel, who the king named, did be called, and he was shown their interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said unto Daniel, art thou out, Daniel, which art of the children of the Judah, who the king by father brought out of Judah? And it says, then I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And then, of course, in verse 15 of this chapter 5, and it says, now the wise men that have brought in before me, they shall read this writing and make it unto me the interpretation, and they shall find not the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that they make the interpretation. Is all doubt. Now if thou cast reading and make known to me the interpretation, that there shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about their neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom of God. You know, we already read that there that was a minute, you know, when that last part where they closed them, put the gold chain around, was honor. Of course, we talked about where they was the third ruler in the kingdom of God. I mean, in this, in the kingdom of there.
Mark, I think it's kind of interesting when you, go back to verse 10, that now the king's got all his, he's already called in the astrologers and the Chaldeans, those are the important people of that area, the soothsayers. So he's got all those people around him, but the queen, who most of the times in those days was nothing more than a figurehead or a person to draw attention from other men to the kingdom. She was supposed to be one of the most beautiful women in the kingdom. Well, she comes over and she says, there's a man, basically, whose reputation precedes him, and you're paying no attention to him.
Right.
Because if you was to go back over to the second chapter of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar tested him, it says that Daniel was found to be, the first chapter, when the king interviewed them, among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they served the king, and the understanding was 10 times better than all the others, and Daniel was in that position. And it says that the scripture says he was in that position in the 12 years of Cyrus. But he had been kind of pushed aside. And these people were paying no attention to him, even though he was in a position of power. He was kind of, he's the old school, he doesn't know anything, he's the oddball stuff. And they don't call him in, but the queen comes over and says, no, you need to bring this guy in, and you need to listen to him. Now, if you think back years and years before this, when Rehoboam became king of Judah after the death of Solomon, he called in the people and said, okay, what do I need to do? And the older people said, you need to be gentler around the people than your father was. You need to cut the taxes, so on and so forth. He called in the younger people, and the younger people says, no, you need to be meaner and harder. So he listened to the one group, paid no attention to the other. It's kind of the same thing that's been going on here. They're listening to the one group, but they're not listening to Daniel whatsoever. But the queen comes in and says, this guy has got wisdom of the gods. And Nebuchadnezzar, your father, made him chief. And he's over all of these fellows there in verse 11. And basically she said, you didn't call him in. You know, it's like he would be, I'll say it this way. He's the Secretary of State, but you went to the Assistant Secretary of State when you're dealing with people. And she said, you need to bring him in. Of course, then that's what he did. And Daniel, explained everything to him. But it was kind of interesting that they ignored it completely. A different generation didn't want to hear what was right. They wanted to do things their own way. And as you said, it cost them their kingdom.
It's true. We'll read a few more verses here, and then we'll close, and then we'll start up in chapter 5 of Daniel next week. And I believe Brother Tom will be back next week. Matter of fact, we'll just stop right there, and we'll actually start with verse 17. And we'll start with next week. We'll get into Daniel chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 17. And we'll start there and then finish through what the termination was of that dream that he had. And we'll do that next week. Darryl, did you want this?
Yeah.
Do I get it off of me?
That is how you get it off of me.
I was thinking, Luke can put it right in my belt because it's not, it gets caught on things.